Whoever you are, we welcome you. Wherever you have come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. My name is Elaine Yaley Bowen, and it is my privilege to serve as the worship coordinator for today's service, along with other members of the Worship Arts team, Carolyn Schlemmer and Jeff Marsh. We are delighted to welcome you to this religious community, and we are also joined this morning by our Director of Religious Education, Lily Rappaport, our Musical Director, Hal Walker, and Vanessa and Blaine Vesely.
This chalice is a symbol of our shared faith. Joy and grief, health and sickness, light and darkness, peace and anger, life and death, wholeness and brokenness. We each bring all of these here to this sanctuary of unity in diversity. For this 1 hour of this one day, and we pour them out, commingling the oil of our lives to become the flame of this chalice, the symbol of our shared living faith.
Balancing work and life. To many, this seems a struggle between a necessary evil and an idealized reality. Common wisdom is that work is inherently less valuable and meaningful. I've always found this hard to reconcile in that I really enjoy my work. Is this somehow wrong? According to the English poet David White, in a book entitled The Three Marriages, Reimagining Work, Self, and Relationship, a different assumption is held up, elevating the inherent value and satisfaction of work and family, and that contributes to self-worth and fulfillment. And I quote several passages. The current understanding of work-life balance is too simplistic. People find it hard to balance work with family, family with self, because it might not be a question of balance. Some other dynamic is in play. something to do with a very human attempt at happiness that does not quantify different parts of life and then set them against one another. We are collectively exhausted because of our inability to hold competing parts of ourselves together in a more integrated way. These hidden human dynamics of integration are more of a conversation, more of a synthesis, and more of an almost religious and sometimes almost delirious quest for meaning than a simple attempt at daily ease and contentment. Human beings are creatures of belonging, though they may come that sense of belonging only through long periods of exile and loneliness. Interestingly, we belong to life as much through our sense that it is all impossible as we do through the sense that we will accomplish everything we have set out to do. This sense of belonging and not belonging is lived out by most people through three principal dynamics. First, through relationship to other people and other living things, particularly and very personally to one other living, breathing person in relationship or marriage. Second, through work. And third, through an understanding of what it means to be themselves, discrete individuals alive and seemingly separate from everyone and everything else. These are the three marriages of work, self, and other. We can call these three separate commitments marriages because at their core, they are usually lifelong commitments, and they involve vows made either consciously or unconsciously. To neglect any one of these three marriages is to impoverish them all, because they are not actually separate commitments, but different expressions of the way each individual belongs to the world.
And we hold each other in the silence and the love that is in this room, setting aside what is in our hands and on our hearts, so we may be open to what it is we find here. Let us take a moment to simply breathe in love. Please join me now in the spirit of prayer. Spirit of life, blessings upon our children, our teenagers, our young adults, and all who heard the call of their hearts yesterday, all across this great land and indeed across the world, who put their feet to the ground and their signs in the air for safety, for the ability of children and teachers to learn and work without fear. Spirit of life, this is our prayer. It is our prayer that all are able to be safe, that all are able to live without fear. For those not able to walk and to march, for those not able to hold a sign, we know there is also power of the pen as we reach out to our elected officials, not to plead, but to insist upon changes for our country, changes for the safety of our children. Let us be thankful and grateful for their courage, for it has come at great cost. We will support them. We will register them to vote. We will pray for peace. We will work for peace. May it be so. And amen.
Don't let your mind get weary and confused. You will be still, don't try. The your heart get heavy, child. Inside you, there's a strength that lies. Your soul get lonely, child. It's only time, it will go by. Don't look for love in faces, places. It's in you, that's where you'll find kindness.
Nobody needs to tell us that these are anxious days in many ways. Hair-pulling, hand-wringing days. We are bombarded from all sides with new and unprecedented developments, grave threats to our national values and institutions on one hand, and countless calls to action on the other, and then the flood of critique and analysis. Whose strategy is winning? How do we outmaneuver the other side? These are indeed uncertain times, and yet there are some things we do know for certain. We know that our blue boat home continues to rotate on its axis, continues its familiar sojourn around the sun. The sun sets and rises, and if we remember to pause for a moment, we may lose ourselves, even if only for a moment, in the glorious play of light and color on the horizon. Beneath the crust of cold earth, the crocuses and daffodils are stirring in their winter hibernation, and you can see their green spears getting taller every day. The energy of life and living is pulsing in them, and in the latent blades of grass and the unseen maple buds, and it's pulsing in us too. The pulse of life calls us to nourish our bodies with good food and movement, to nourish our spirits with art and song, friendship and tenderness, and quiet. When we heed the pulse of life, we know the things we need to do. To rise in the morning and rest into the darkness. To put our hands, hearts, and minds to work to meet those in our midst with compassion, to join with the vulnerable and speak truth to power, to play with our youngest and hear the wisdom of our elders, to heal the sick and the wounded, to grieve the dying and remember the dead, to be of use, and sometimes to be still. The pulse of life is beating in each and every one of us, and amidst the clamor of these times, let us heed its sure and steady rhythm.
For those of you grammarians out there who have been cringing at the title, I take ownership of that. I like the way it sounds. Life as balancing act. When beginning to work on a service topic, I try and keep my eyes and ears and heart open for material. Lots of things come to mind when we think of balance. You might think of a scale, not necessarily one to weigh yourself on, but remember chemistry lab? You had those beam balance scales that you were always trying to use. We think of scales of justice. We think of all kinds of things with balance. Maybe when we were in elementary school and we had PE, you had to try and balance on one foot. Lots of things about balance. I started in my house, and I asked my spouse of 33 years, when I say balance, what do you immediately think of? He said, don't stand up in a small boat. Okay. We're not boaters, but okay, don't stand up in a small boat. It's going to rock. I think of sports. The Olympics are recently completed, and I'm thinking of some of the skiing I watched and saw those skiers up on those very edges and what balance it must take to move their body through speed. The skaters on that fine, fine blade, keeping their balance and doing amazing feats. I think of gymnastics, that 4-inch wide balance beam, so long and so high up off the ground. It is amazing what they do. So there's different kinds of physical balance. I also saw a meme on a now not quite so popular social media site. And the picture was of a pile of rocks with two smaller rocks balanced upon it, and then a very, very long stone on top of it, and two more. So there was this sort of precarious rock balance. And it says, some days you eat salads and go to the gym. Some days you eat cupcakes and refuse to put on pants. It's called balance. So there's that. All kinds of balance. A wise minister who you might also know once said to me that when writing a homily or a sermon or a message, she said, show me, don't tell me. And we learn best through listening to each other's stories. So it's story time. My story about balance begins with an extremely significant imbalance in my life. My twin sons and my husband and I received their diagnosis of autism spectrum disorder on my 33rd birthday in 1994. What a gift of sorts. It turned our quiet middle-class suburban life really on its head. I found it extremely hard to digest. It was hard to accept. There was so much to learn and to do. We entered into this world of IEPs, individualized education plans, all kinds of therapies, and just dealing and coping with this change in our life. Simultaneously, I was dealing with very severe depression, made worse in part by the diagnosis. I was also working a full hour away in Oberlin at the time. And what I did was not healthy. I worked hours upon hours upon hours. I brought work home from the hospital to do. I buried myself in the busyness of work. I became a workaholic. My marriage suffered greatly. There came a point of misery. My life was so unbalanced, I knew there was something desperately missing. What was missing? Fate or destiny or pure happenstance brought someone into my life by the name of Tina Wilson. Tina came to work at the hospital in Oberlin as the social worker, and we became fast friends and realized we were kindred spirits. We had many conversations in her office about life and balance and imbalance. And in the winter of 2000 to 2001, she came into work one day and she handed me some brochures. On Sunday, she had been to the Unitarian Universalist Church in Olmsted Falls, Ohio. Those brochures, as I read them in her office, were from that church. And they changed my life. I found myself in pretty much every other sentence. I turned 40 years old on March 17th, 2001. And on April 12th, Easter Sunday, was the first day I walked through those doors. I found what was missing. What was missing in my life, part of the imbalance between work and home, really was a relationship with my spirit and my soul. I cannot recall where I read this description of balance because I would like to give it attribution, but it made me stop and pay attention. Picture this. Balance is like a three-legged stool. Jeff talked about the three marriages earlier. This is a three-legged stool. One leg is home, family. One leg is work, whatever it is we do. And the third is love. The third is love. As a devout Unitarian Universalist, this resonates with me, especially if perhaps one's definition of God is love. I found a community of love here, and it has made a profound difference in my life. So much of a difference, I look at my life in two separate parts. Pre-40, pre-UU, and now. This community of love has helped me keep my balance many times over the past 17 years through job changes, through my spouse being unemployed, through health challenges, financial concerns, a significant legal issue for one of my children, and the death of my mother. In an increasingly unbalanced world, my family here, the love here, has helped me maintain my three-legged stool of life steady and relatively flat on life's floor. That said, perfect balance at all times is simply not realistic. This quote by Sylvia Boorstein from her book, Don't Just Do Something, Sit There, says that equanimity, balance, doesn't mean keeping things even. It is the capacity to return in the midst of an alert, responsive life. I don't want to be constantly calm. The cultural context I grew up in and the relational life I live in both call for passionate, engaged response. I laugh and I cry, and I'm glad that I do. What I value is the capacity to be balanced between times. We know that there are always ups and downs, ebbs and flows in life and in community. We know this a bit too well. This congregation has experienced more than its share of imbalance over the past 18 months. But we're getting our collective feet back on solid ground. We are regaining our balance. We are within mere weeks of hearing and knowing the good news of a new minister. We are on the cusp of realizing a long, and I do mean long, term dream of expanding our space for our growing community, both this one and the one out there who has yet to learn about the love of this religion. We are so very close, friends. And how has this been possible? A little bit like that three-legged stool that this UU family has done very hard work with great love. We, my friends, we are the embodiment of life as balancing. Amen, and blessed be. Friends, having found stillness, may we share peace. Having received connection, may we reach out to others. Having heard the call of our deepest selves, may we live in greater alignment. And having returned to our center, may we expand this circle of love. Amen, and blessed be.